If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Well, I thought last week's interview with Peter Weber would be the last episode of Gabbing with Gib about the Traitors for a while. But then I had the opportunity to interview one of the winners of season two last Friday, and obviously I couldn't say no to that. So today's episode features an interview with Trishelle Cannatella, who won the season alongside her fellow Real World / The Challenge personality, CT, following a riveting season finale, which ended in a very controversial manner that came down to back-to-back votes between her, CT, and MJ from Shaws of Sunset. Ultimately, Trishelle and CT both voted to banish MJ, meaning that she was cut out of splitting the $200,000 prize pot in a brutal way. There's been a lot of outcry from people who say that Trishelle and CT pulled a traitors-like move at the end to cut MJ out, that it was cruel or unfair or heartless. But most of that commentary seems to be coming from people who skew more to the Bravo category, which obviously is me too. But that means that a lot of these people might not be as well versed in the competition reality show space where moves like this happen all the time. Because, well, the Traitors at the end of the day is a game where the object is to walk away with as much money as possible. And in the end, CT and Trishelle recognized the opportunity and wound up following through on a promise they had made to one another at the beginning of the game. Of course, my heart went out to MJ, and I wish that she had been able to split some of that money with them. I honestly fell in love with her on this season and found her to be so watchable, but it's not like she didn't have the opportunity. CT and Trishelle both voted to banish her during the second vote, meaning that if MJ had picked up what Trishelle was putting down and voted to banish CT during the first vote, she would have been the one splitting the prize pot with Trishelle, not CT. And then before that, MJ had the opportunity to better corral her Bravo clique in the same way that Trishelle and CT ultimately banded together. Yeah, they hung out a lot during the game, but they didn't really strategize in the necessary way to make it to the end with one another. I'm talking about the Bravo people. These games are also all about the numbers, and MJ didn't work the votes to maintain those numbers so that they would be in her favor at the end. So yeah, it sucks for MJ, but the Traitors is a game and Trishelle and CT played it better than her. I did love the energy that she brought into the reunion. It was very antagonistic and bitter energy that was absolutely understandable coming from her, but you're more likely to see that on a Bravo reunion versus a competition reality show reunion, so the dissonance there was amazing to me. I also loved the overall tension throughout this season between the strategic game players and the non-competition show people who generally were creating better TV than they were playing the game. That tension really boiled over during the finale and at the reunion between MJ and Trishelle and CT, but also between Phaedra and Dan, with Phaedra still being angry with quote-unquote dirty Dan for blowing up her spot as a traitor right before he was banished. Again, his move was a game move, albeit a dirty one, but I did love seeing her call him a piece of shit several times. And while I obviously would have loved to see a Bravo person at least be one of the winners, This season of The Traitors ended in spectacular fashion, and it's hard not to be satisfied with the epic ending for CT and Trishel, who have such a long history and were able to push through that to bring their story to an epic conclusion, at least for now. To be totally transparent, because I am first and foremost a Bravo guy, and because she was in a separate alliance from most of the Bravo people on this season, I wasn't always rooting for Trishel this season, and I may have been a little shady about her on Twitter. But it was always in good fun, and ultimately I think she played the best game out of anyone this season. She took it extremely seriously, taking notes throughout and making really astute judgment calls on how to proceed with each vote. And it was hard not to be impressed by her while watching by the end. And she knows this about me. We DM'd about it a little bit, and I love her ability to take this all in stride, understand that viewers are coming from different fandoms, and her sense of humor about it all is really commendable. And because I think we came from slightly different perspectives, it was fun to have a sort of meeting of the minds with her via this interview, which gave me an even deeper appreciation for her approach to the game, her ability to compartmentalize while playing it, and her perspective on a variety of the critiques she received over the past few months while the show aired. Anyway, I'm so grateful to have gotten this time with Trishel the day after the finale and the reunion aired on Peacock, and we talked about as much as we could in our allotted time together. Her big win, her reaction to the controversial MJ decision, and where she stands with her now, how sweet it was to end the season with CT, where things stand with her and Peppermint, how she responds to the variety of misconceptions about her online, and much, much more. Keep listening for my interview with Trishel Cannutella. Stream The Traitors on Peacock now if you somehow haven't already. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you get your podcasts. I want to gab. Okay, so today we're gabbing with one of the winners of The Traitors Season 2, Trishel Cannutella. The show is such a cultural moment. I don't have to tell you that. It was just, it's been so fun to watch this, and it must feel pretty damn good to come out winning in the end. Trishel, congratulations. Thanks for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you. How is the day after feeling?
The day after the finale airing?
Yes.
Gosh, it was just, it's crazy because Even though I know what happened, it's still insane to rewatch CT's face whenever I flipped over my chalkboard and, you know, MJ. And it's funny, whenever MJ was leaving the fire pit and she had like whispered something like, I hope you guys are like happy with your game or something like right. that. I couldn't hear her in the moment. So I didn't know what she said. So I'm getting everything as I'm watching it again. So it was intense.
Intense, right. And it must feel also pretty good to not have to keep that secret anymore.
Yes, it was. I actually slipped to my husband, but I didn't tell my sister. I didn't tell my friends. I didn't tell my dad.
That's pretty good.
No one knew. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Okay, so we don't have that much time. So I just want to like jump into it. You know, CT told Vulture that you two and Bananas had made a pact on basically the first day of like, if it winds up us at the end, we're going to stay challenge strong. We're going to kind of make a statement by doing that. Is that why you both made the flame red in the end, or was it from your end really not trusting that he wasn't a traitor?
No, I didn't trust that he wasn't a traitor because obviously I voted for him. It could have went real sideways at that moment. You know, because here's the thing, right before we went to the fire pit, I told MJ, I said, MJ, I trust you 100%. I don't trust anybody else here 100%. And she was like, okay. And so I thought that she understood that literally meant what I said. She's the only person I believed was a faithful. Sandra was in my ear earlier because she's so smart. She said, I think that CT's your traitor, Angel. And I was like, yeah, you think so? And I was like, maybe he's been protecting me this whole time. Mm. He didn't light my torch because maybe he was a traitor and he knew he wasn't going to murder me. He, you know, told me where the shield was in that one mission, maybe because he didn't need a shield because he was a traitor. So I'm going through all this. And when it's just us three left, I was like, oh my God, all I trust is really 100% is MJ. So that's why I voted for CT.
Right. Oh my gosh. You know, how do you think it would have gone down, even just like emotionally, if MJ had also voted for CT in that first round of final voting? You know, we'll get to it, but there was a sort of Shakespearean ending for you and CT that like this, you know, 2-decade-long friendship relationship kind of came to this moment of like, do we trust each other enough to do this? But if she had voted for CT, you guys wouldn't have gotten that moment.
I know, but it would have been fine because I would have had that moment with MJ, you know, but who I think played a decent game. I really do. But I think that, God, right whenever I flipped his name over, I knew I had made a mistake, and I was just like, oh my God, he is not a traitor. Like, I saw his face and I just knew it. And it would have been horrible if he would have had left, you know, just because we had that past.
Yeah, totally. So a lot of Bravo fans, and I'm going to say myself included again, because, you know, we've talked about this, that like, yeah, I am a little protective of the Bravo crew. And to see that happen to MJ at the end was kind of gutting, you know, and you really felt for her. And, you know, it is a game, obviously. But, you know, I've seen a lot of Bravo fans who feel some type of way about this. And I guess, what would you say to someone who thinks that you and CT kind of like did a traitor like move at the very end to cut her out of the pot?
I would say, for myself personally, are we watching the same show? I literally gave MJ the opportunity to go with me and her because I thought CT was a traitor.
Right.
Like, watch the show. And so I, you know, yeah, she, I think that she could be mad at CT because also they were way closer. I played the game the entire time. I didn't make personal moves until actually the second time I voted at the fire pit. But until that time, everything was strategic. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I understand why it was upsetting for, you know, Bravo fans that MJ got cut out. And God, watching it back, I was like, man, it sucked. Had I known, had I not been like in my head about it, we could have all three won. And right, if he had given us another, if Alan had given us another chance after it was a stalemate to throw our pouches again, I would have gone green. I would have wanted us three, but we didn't have that option.
Right. It was just another vote. Because you saw CT's face and you were like, okay, you just saw how gutted
yes,
he was.
So honestly, it wasn't anything at all me personal against MJ. In fact, she's the only person I trusted. That was.
And there. You said that. Yeah, totally. You know, MJ was obviously still fairly mad at you, or more, I guess more CT sort of at the end there, at the reunion. It was
filmed, mad at me too.
Right. She was mad at both of you and you asked her about it. That was filmed a week ago after the reunion taping ended. Did you have any conversations with her? You said she had blocked you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Where do things stand now between you and MJ?
I haven't looked, but I'm probably still blocked. I don't know. I have not spoken to her. I think that she is choosing to be angry without taking in the full knowledge of the situation.
Right.
Which is fine. I'm not going to try to beg anybody to change their mind. Trust me. Like, it is what it is. But, you know, it's a game. And I will say that, like, she played a good game. This was her first competition reality show. CT and I are used to this. Like, if they had done it to me, I would have been like, good game, guys. Like, you got me. I would have laughed. I would have not made personal attacks to people at the reunion. So I thought that was a poor choice on her end and very unfortunate.
Yeah, I think she was treating it more like a Bravo reunion than I think, because it wasn't a Bravo reunion. No, it was a traitors reunion. It's different.
It's not about our personal life. This is a game show.
Yeah. And I think that gets into, I think at the very end of the reunion, we see Andy bring up like just the different mentality and approaches of like the you know, the veteran competition show people like you and CD who won, and the Bravo people and some of the people who don't have that experience. And like, you guys are able to compartmentalize the game and the emotions, whereas they a lot of them came out of it with more of a feeling of betrayal. And that's just kind of the different approaches. But it's a really interesting tension, I think.
Did you see Sandra and Janelle go at each other at the round table that one time? They were every word in the book was flown across the table. And guess what? They're fine now.
Yeah.
It's a different mentality with gamers. We have very thick skin. And I thought that had, you know, MJ being on the Bravo shows that she would have more thick skin. But I guess it's just different in this like game situation. She felt very betrayed. So
is there somebody that didn't have that background in gaming that you feel like adapted the most in that capacity of like, okay, I can think about it as a game and put the personal to the side?
Peter, 1,000%. He surprised the hell out of me. I was like, this guy is smart. He played very hard to his own detriment.
Right.
But
I agree.
Very hard. Yeah.
So you and CT, you had this colorful history and you both came from the real world back to back seasons. And, you know, 20 years ago, you've competed on two of the same seasons of the challenge and you come into the show. You know, we saw some conversations earlier on, but again, it gets to this ending that really is kind of a Shakespearean moment of like, he has one last moment to plead with you of like, no, I'm sorry I did something to lose your trust, but I trust you 100%. You can trust me 100%. I guess just like, to me, it's a very cool moment that this is the way that like it went out. I think a lot of people don't have the understanding of how deep that kind of connection is between you guys and how long you have been connected. Can you just speak to that a little bit and how, again, like it kind of worked out perfectly for you two?
I mean, he's like, CT is like my brother.
Yeah.
And so like it was, you know, when we had like that first conversation, just me and him outside that one day, and I was just like kind of in the beginning of the show, I was like, wow, like we really are, we're family, like we're close, like the challenge people come together. And then he had just changed so much for the better, like as a person, he's just grown, you know, it's been over a decade that I'd seen him. Mm-hmm. And so I was just so surprised and happy with the person he turned out to be. And it's just so special that we won together in that way. But he didn't even have to say anything. I just saw his face. I know his face. And I was like, oh my God, when his face dropped, it looked like he was starting to cry. And I was like, I've made a massive mistake. He is a faithful. And then it had to be the hard decision to vote out MJ.
Right.
Because at that point, that was the only point that I played something personal in the entire game.
It was also the only way out of that situation, really.
Yes.
Right? It's like, because what was it going to be? Just another stalemate after another stalemate? Somebody had to budge on their vote. And
I don't even know what would have happened in the end. And yes, MJ has right to be mad because we put her in that horrible position. But you know what? We're wrong sometimes about people being traitors. And obviously, I was wrong with CT.
Right. The other moment at the reunion that is kind of, I think, is going to stay in people's minds in a really, I think, important way is what is the sort of monologue that Peppermint gave. And it was this really emotional, really well articulated expression from her. And I'm curious, I think you said on the reunion, like you came out strong in just that moment and then you really dialed it back. Have you and Peppermint spoken at all? And kind of, is that water under the bridge? It must have been pretty emotional in sitting there on that reunion couch and watching her deliver that message.
Yes, it was. And I thought she did a great job, actually. I spoke to her after. We all went to Peter's mom's house after. Yeah. well, a lot of us did. And I got to speak to Peppermint briefly. And I'm going to like respect the conversation that we had. But I think that we can get to, or we're getting to, a better place. And we are going to. Whenever I told her, whenever she is comfortable, I respect her boundaries, that I would like for her to, if she wants to, reach out to me and have like a longer conversation.
That's really nice. And that's a really great way to approach that situation.
I have a great deal of respect for Peppermint. And I was so upset with myself about her going home so early and me and the huge part that I played in that. Right. And mm-hmm. So whenever she got up there and she was like, talking about how she wanted to represent the community and she had, this was a good platform. I was like, oh my God, she's 100% right. And I was like, what have I done? Because I have been an ally to the community for like 25 years, like a very vocal ally. And so it was just very hard to like kind of go through all that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I think as Andy, I think, said on the reunion after Peppermint spoke, it was sort of like, it's still this amazing moment that came out of an unfortunate situation that first and at the beginning of the show. But again, like people have learned from Peppermint having that platform still, you know,
and I hope she gets another opportunity. And
totally.
A lot longer.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So that gets into, I want to do a couple of just like quick getting your thoughts on things. So what is the biggest misconception about you that you've seen, I guess, in the social media reaction to the show?
Oh my God. So much. Are you kidding me? today it was like, she's like MAGA or MAGA or however you say it, that I'm like this huge Trump supporter. I'm not. Look up my voting record. Like, it's all out there. I have literally, especially during the pandemic, been so hardcore. Trump's a racist. He's this, you know, he is a terrible person. I have been super outspoken and I'm like, dude, all you have to do is go back a couple years and just read. And then all you have to do is like, look at my pictures from a long time, you know, from years of my allyship and everything. Like I flew to Whistler for Pride. My husband and I were like marching in the parade. Like I was there when Prop 8 was overturned, like with signs and everything. I have been a huge supporter. And so when people are like, she's transphobic, she is racist, she is a Trump supporter, I'm like, look, I know that the blonde hair makes me look like I'm a Fox News commentator, but I'm not. Like the opposite, actually. So I think that's a
that's the biggest, most important one, I would say.
Oh my
yeah.
God. Like,
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, that's good. Oh my God. People make leaps, you know? Who is the person that you would like to see get the Kate treatment and be brought back for season 3 and give another chance?
I think Peppermint would be really good. Johnny has been, of course, pitching himself to anyone who will listen. He's still so bitter about being kicked off, but yeah, it would be like good for Peppermint to return and you know, have her play out all her fashion, all the fabulous fashion.
By the way,
killed it at the reunion.
Oh, I agree. Wait, the Johnny thing quickly. It's because it's like, to me, it's sort of like, what does he expect? He's this huge personality. He has this huge reputation as an amazing game player. Of course, somebody like that is going to be one of the first people murdered, right? It's like,
yeah, he's very charming too. And he was playing guitar and he was like, oh, I should have been cooled it with the guitar playing. Like whenever we're off camera, I'm like, yeah, but I wouldn't have voted him off. I wouldn't have banished or murdered him first. I would have just like drug him to the middle and then just let himself and his mouth get him banished. Because ultimately that would happen.
What's one thing you wish the audience would have gotten to see?
Wow. Well, Peppermint and I actually had a one-on-one conversation that they didn't show. That was good. There wasn't a lot. It's so funny because like you kind of only know what is in your group of what you're talking about.
Right.
What was happening in the turret? That was very interesting to watch. There were like funny moments, like with Kevin, like after the torch ceremony. Oh my God, Kevin. After the torch ceremony, you know, he started it off. So he lit Sheree's torch and she wasn't even in his alliance at all. So we were having dinner and he's like chewing with his mouth open. And I was like, Kevin, like, why did you light her torch? And he's like, who? Shireen? And I was like,
Sheree? Oh, please.
It's not her name. Like, you don't even know her name. It's Sheree. Yes. Like, what are you think? He just didn't really think about it that way. Oh, I also wish that they showed how competitive the housewives were and how good they were at competition.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone there was pretty competitive, but I wish we had gotten more of an impression of that.
Oh, Sheree is a beast. She gunned for Shields every single time
right.
She was playing. And I know, and it was cute how they showed her like screaming for the bugs and everything, but she really was in the game a lot more than what they showed.
Okay, yeah. I think that she also she got a bad rap based on that edit, probably.
I thought she was awesome. And I told Cindy at the reunion that I think there should be like a challenge of housewives that they do physical competition so we could see them in that element.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
What is your personal favorite moment from the season? Besides winning, obviously, but what's something that you will look back and be like?
I had a moment with Deontay off camera and I just love him. I think he's wonderful. We both shed a couple tears and I love how emotional he is. It's very attractive for a man to, you know, especially or a tough guy like that to be in touch with that side. So I had some good moments with him. You get kind of close to the people who you ride in the car with before you get to the castle, right? And so we were spending hours together. It was me, Max, and Parliament John. That's another thing. It's like, when on earth did I ever think that I would be with a guy from the UK Parliament on a television show? He was so funny at roundtables. Oh my God.
He was like had a housewives quality at roundtables, honestly.
He was so theatrical. It's hilarious. And just to see Phaedra too, like icon, complete icon. She's a person I was thought was like way just the most famous, the most person that I was excited to see on the show. It was her. And so, it was just amazing to just see her in action.
Yeah.
Phaedra. She's
front row seat. The things I would do. The last question that actually just popped into my mind, Rochelle, is like, we obviously see the reactions of everybody at breakfast when you each walk in one by one and you know, you're finding out who else is safe. Mm-hmm. What were your reactions like when you first find out, like from, I guess, a producer or somebody that you're safe each morning? Is it like, are you woken up and it's like, oh my God, I get to stay? Or what's that little moment like each time?
Okay, well, you probably will agree with this. I should have been murdered like 5 times. I should have been murdered a bunch. Okay,
well, you're part of Peter's pals, you know, which are huge targets. Yeah,
but I gotta thank Phaedra for that. Thank you, Phaedra. I love you, but I think she kept me safe. But I was always shocked whenever they're like, because you're in a room and you know sometimes you're with another person, sometimes you're not. But I was just always completely shocked whenever they were like, you made it to breakfast. I mean, I thought I was going to be murdered every single night. Literally the second day we were there, I packed my bags because I thought I was going to be murdered. I thought Peppermint was a traitor. And so I was like, Peppermint's going to murder me because I made that stupid comment. Why did I do that about the outfits? I was like, she's going to murder me. I was spiraling the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be tough not to. And I think you held your own very well. And I think your notes did you really well, clearly. Like you were gaming and it paid off, you know, in the end. And it really did. So, you know, Trishelle, congratulations on this big win. I'm happy to be connected with you now. Yeah. Is there another show on the horizon for you that you would have your sights set on that now that you're sort of in the spotlight?
I'm a huge Big Brother fan. I would love to do something with Big Brother. I just think it's an awesome show. And so I like the strategy of it too. But yeah, anything that's kind of like Traitors S with a lot of strategy play, I would love to do it. So we'll see. I'm just like open to anything right now.
Love it. Well, Trishelle, congratulations again. Thanks for taking the time and soak up the love that I hope you're feeling after this big win.
All right.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gabe Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.